I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
All right, you're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Heritage Radio Network Station in Roberta's Pizza in a little shipping container in the backyard on this beautiful Monday in Bushwick. So I'm here today with Emily Ferris. She is a wonderful food writer, longtime food writer, blogger, hostess of awesome parties, and the author of Casserole Crazy, Fun Stuff for Your Oven.
Hot stuff.
Hot stuff for your oven.
It's fun, too.
It's fun and hot.
But it's hot.
And
it
awesome.
Should be hot.
And she's a natural redhead, too.
Thank you, Kathy.
Oh, sorry. She definitely has that fire in her
energy. I should have been born a redhead. We'll leave it at that. Whether I was or I wasn't. Well, it's up to the imagination.
You fooled me. You got me.
Thank you. Anyway,
I'm just so glad that you're here because you moved from Brooklyn to Kansas City a couple of years ago.
I did.
And Brooklyn has missed you sorely.
I have missed Brooklyn a lot. Though last night I was in the Target in the Atlantic Terminal and I realized, oh, this is why I left Brooklyn.
On your one trip to Brooklyn, you had to go to the Target.
I know, I shouldn't have. It was a really bad idea. But no, I miss Brooklyn a lot. Especially all of the great restaurants and... you know, I have a little apartment that I keep in Windsor Terrace now, kind of by Prospect Park. And it was kind of a very residential neighborhood without a lot of food things going on. And now there are all these great restaurants and bars popping up. So it's really exciting. Every time I come back, there's something new.
Gosh, cool.
Yeah.
And how is it back home? Did you just change the food world of Kansas City?
You know, it's sort of... When I started having the casserole party in Brooklyn and people made a big deal out of it, my dad would just chuckle because he said, why are people making such a big deal out of something that we do all the time? And
I should say the casserole party is an annual, now going on its sixth year tonight at the Brooklyn Kitchen tradition that Emily has been hosting. It's a casserole cook-off, basically, and yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It's bigger and better than ever this year, which we can talk about later. But... You know, and I didn't know exactly what kind of reception it would get in Kansas City, but it's been great. Last year, I had the first annual casserole party, and it was in a very different way, just as popular as it is in Brooklyn. One thing that was very different is like a bunch of little old ladies would come in with their casseroles wrapped in towels, which didn't happen in hipster Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
They would come in like what? Whole Foods bags or something.
Yeah, right? Well, if they were even going to take a Whole Foods bag, but yeah.
Speaking of Whole Foods, that's one of our sponsors. Our other sponsor today is 360 Cookware. I forgot to plug. One second, Emily. 360 Cookware is a top-of-the-line stainless steel cookware that's made in America with the greenest cookware manufacturing facility in the country. It can be used to make all your favorite recipes, but it also gives the option to cook using vapor technology, which creates a seal that surrounds food with intense heat, locking in vitamins, moisture, and flavor without added oil, excess fat, or excess water. Visit 360cookware.com for more info. Maybe you can make a casserole with them.
It does sound like a good way to make a casserole. I should talk to them about sponsoring next year and giving away one of their wonderful dishes as a prize.
I think that's a good idea.
If you hear me, 360cookware.com, get in touch through casseroleCrazy.com.
I think that would be a really great collaboration.
Yeah.
Okay, so the differences in Brooklyn people's... What about the food itself? How is it different from the food that was at Kansas?
Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri. But people mix
Kansas
that up a lot.
City.
Kansas City. People mistake Kansas City for being in Kansas, as you would think. You know, Oklahoma City is in Oklahoma. Kansas City is in Missouri and Kansas. So we're on the Missouri side. I just like to make that clear. You know, in Brooklyn, last year, the winner had duck confit.
Uh-huh.
You don't really get duck confit in Kansas City at the casserole party. You can get it at a restaurant, but it's not. The people who come to the casserole party in Kansas City, I would say, are much more earnest in their efforts. And there's definitely that. That exists in Brooklyn, but
yeah,
it's
more like stuff people would actually eat every day rather than something that they're going crazy.
Exactly.
About.
My boyfriend's mom is making a casserole this year in Kansas City, and she said, you know, I'm going to do this recipe that the kids love. I made it for them all the time when they were kids, and they loved it. And I'm just going to make that.
Yeah.
I hope so. but I'm not a judge, so I'm partial. But it's less of a. Less of a show, I guess, right. In Kansas City, whereas in Brooklyn, you know, and the food scene in Brooklyn is so different, and they match each other well. The casserole party in Brooklyn matches the food scene in Brooklyn, whereas the casserole party in Kansas City matches the more mainstream food scene in Kansas City. Though we have one of our chefs from Kansas City is still in the running toward becoming the next Iron Chef. So we are a food city, just not like Brooklyn.
Cool. And what was the winning casserole from last year?
It was called Cluck Cluck Toot Woo. This is in Kansas City.
Keeping it real.
Yeah, it was cheesy and eggy and kind of enchilada-y, baked, layered. It was cheesy.
It was a casserole.
It was a casserole. And as you know, crazy. From being at multiple casserole parties, whether this is true in Kansas City and in Brooklyn, cheese tends to take a high place.
Yeah,
the
I don't think
taste.
There were too
You've
many
judged
without
before.
Cheese. Yeah,
right. And I encourage that. I do encourage that people. You know, I don't judge, and I'm not going to tell people exactly what they need to do to win. But I do say, you know, in the past, it's often a very cheesy casserole that wins because when people think about casseroles, they think about cheese.
Yeah,
unless you're vegan.
Yeah,
but vegan cheese doesn't melt so well.
I don't think a whole lot of people shied away from that tradition too.
No. And why should they?
Yeah,
cheese is
casserole.
Great.
Casserole. What else can you kind of bind a casserole with?
You bind. It's such a good word because in the rules for the casserole party, I say you have to have two solid ingredients and a binding agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know, sauces. You could make a bechamel
gravy.
Sauce, a gravy. A gravy would be very heavy, but you could do it. A red sauce. But then I would still use some sort of cheese.
Everything's
like
heavy.
I know. You just have to eat it in moderation, which we
do
such a good job.
Thanks a lot for
of.
Making me a judge 2 years ago. I had to eat like 40 casseroles.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that was really fun. I biked home with I was about to throw up every step of the way.
Yeah, I encourage people to walk home from this event, and which you don't do in Kansas City because everyone drives everywhere. But so, I always like to go for a long walk.
So who are the lucky judges for the sixth annual Brooklyn Casserole Party tonight?
So tonight we have Camille Ford, and she's the host of Food Wars on the Travel Channel.
Oh, that's perfect.
And Corey Henderson, he is from URDB.org, stands for Universal Records Database.
Oh, I know those guys.
Yeah, they're on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon all the time.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, Dan
and
Corey.
I didn't know I knew famous people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Ann Cansfield, who is the pastor of the Greenpoint Reformed Church and does the soup kitchen there, which a lot of people in the Brooklyn food scene are familiar with. Actually,
we
went to
her.
A soup kitchen supper club on Friday night, and it was amazing.
Love it.
Yeah, and we're going to be passing the Pyrex for the soup kitchen a lot.
I'm so glad that they're involved.
Yeah. One thing that's different this year, the party has always been free. I want to keep a very potluck feel to it. You can only get in if you have a casserole, but it's free to get in. But, you know, given that I don't spend a lot of money on this, there was always a cash bar aspect. Mm-hmm. And this year, the Brooklyn Brewery is donating the beer. And so now that people will not have to pay for their own alcohol, I'm going to be guilting them into putting money in the Pyrex for the soup kitchen all night. So if you're coming, you better bring cash because you don't want to be that guy who's stuffing your face with free casserole.
If it's going to the Greenpoint Soup Kitchen, why not?
Yeah, what better cause in
Brooklyn?
We'll
give them the leftover casseroles too.
Yeah. Though the food that they're serving up there it might even be better. It's amazing
what they're
serving there. Yeah, they have their own garden and they're doing great. I've watched it grow and they're doing great things over there.
That's so cool. I did a guest dinner there a couple years ago, and they really are a hardworking team.
It's amazing what they do.
Yeah.
And you know, soup kitchens or food pantries, it's a lot of canned goods are thrown together, not very good casseroles, you know, in many parts of the country. And here it's, you know, they're growing their own organic vegetables, and they have a chef there, And it's I'm super impressed with what they're doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what the judges choose as the winner tonight.
I cannot wait either.
And I'm so excited. Is it too late for me to enter something?
You know what? I had a couple of cancellations and I've contacted everyone on my wait list. So you could still enter something, Kathy.
I just don't know what to do.
Knowing you, though, you can come up with something amazing. And having judged before, you have a pretty good idea of what works there and what doesn't. I think you should enter. I am holding a spot with your name on it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I have to race home.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So, Emily, you are a very... I just love how in your writing, you just kind of really pepper it with a lot of sassy anecdotes in your blog. You're just so much fun to talk to. So, I'm so excited to ask you, what is the most... sexy date meal?
Ooh. Well, there's a book or a recipe in my book that I call Seduction.
I wrote the book on seduction. Thank you very much.
And the food itself isn't incredibly sexy when you think of how much cheese is in it and garlic and onions.
What?
The reason I call it Seduction is because every man that I've made this casserole for either wants to marry me or sleep with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Either.
It's that good. Either or both.
That's a hard, no. Yeah.
it's got six different cheeses and sauteed onions and garlic and it's cavatelli pasta.
Oh. Wow.
It's delicious.
Okay.
But it's not the kind of meal that you necessarily want to eat and then have sex. It's very heavy. Are we allowed to say that on this radio show? I hope so.
Absolutely.
Okay.
As long as it's not a vampire you're seducing. I think that, yeah.
And, you know, I used to write an advice column and I wrote for their blog. And then in Kansas City, I was writing an advice column for a while. And I actually quoted one of your recipes as one of the sexiest recipes.
Really?
Your basil panna cotta.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
That's a whole story behind that one.
You have to read the book for that story.
Yeah. You have to read my book.
Yeah.
And then her book. Yeah. And then you'll be set.
Yeah. These are all sexy
dinner and dessert.
If you're not lactose intolerant. And if you are, there is a recipe in my book called Lactard Surprise. It's true.
I don't even want to know. All right, let's cut really quick to your song. You picked a song by your friend's band.
I did. This is the band is called The Grizzly Hand, and they're from Kansas City, and I love them.
All right, be right back.
Listen for a train to whistle. I'm trying to hit your ride. Won't this bus ever come?
That was pretty good, Emily. I like your friend's band.
They're great. They're playing my boyfriend's 30th birthday party in January, and I'm so excited.
Awesome. Check out
The Grizzly Hands.
If you're around Kansas City area. We're here with Emily Ferris, who is also from that area. She's the author of Casserole Crazy Cookbook and the hostess of the Casserole Parties in Brooklyn. And so the sixth annual one is in Brooklyn tonight, and then the second annual Kansas City casserole party is going to be November 6th.
November 6th, yes.
Cool. So wherever you are, you can still make it.
Yeah, and you can sign up at casserolecrazy.com.
For a good cause.
Yes.
So this obviously is an annual tradition. What else keeps you busy year-round? Talking about food and...
You know, I'm a food and lifestyle writer. Mm-hmm. So right now I am contributing regularly to shelterpop.com, which is AOL's home decor blog. And I'm writing a neighborhood blog, trying to get that whole, it's kind of a phenomenon in New York, the neighborhood blogs. I'm trying to get that going in Kansas City. And I'm ghostwriting a book.
On seduction.
On, sort of. Yeah, well, that's part of it. It's about in general about finding your soulmate.
Okay, well, I will have to, wow.
I'll tell you more later, but if I said anything else, I'd have to kill you and everyone who's listening.
Okay.
So that's all I can say.
I will try to ghost find this book.
Good luck.
Once it comes out.
Good luck.
That'll be pretty hard. How do you do that? Anyway, so what do you miss most about the Brooklyn food scene? I know you were talking a little bit about how it's different in terms of the casseroles that we have seen. Anything?
Well, clearly, I'm not missing out on food. That's very true in my life. I've have plenty of food, but the food scene, you know, I miss the people. It's such a great community of people, and everyone's so supportive of each other and doing their own. Everyone has their own thing, and it's all of it is cool. All of it is great. All of it is fun. And I really miss that in Kansas City. There's, you know, there is a food scene. A lot of it is the chefs. Like I said, we have, you know, Chef Selena Teo, who is in the running to become the next Iron Chef. And there are some food related activities going on, but it's such a community here, and I really, really miss that. And everyone helps each other out. And, you know, mm-hmm. like my relationship with the people at the Brooklyn Kitchen with Harry and Taylor, and they're so wonderful. And, I just miss, it's like a big, you know, people are friends, but it's, I don't know, it's like a big community of people helping each other and all eating delicious food, and not just helping each other, but helping out organizations like the Brooklyn Soup Kitchen, the Greenpoint
like
Soup
various
Kitchen.
Various causes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's through just good. Food.
Through food. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you see folks engaging in, like, so your cook-off is a charity thing in Kansas City, too.
Just this year, but it's started being charity just this year in Brooklyn and Kansas City. So in Kansas City, I haven't found such a wonderful little soup kitchen that I'm in love with in Kansas City yet. But if there is one, please get in touch with me. But I'm going to donate the proceeds from the Kansas City Casserole Party to Harvesters, which is a, you know, they pick up food and they deliver food and they do a, I forget exactly what it's called, but like back snacks for kids, like sending kids to school with healthy snacks in their backpacks. And
cool.
Yeah, they do lots of really great stuff in the greater Kansas City area. So, you know, and like this whole food community, it's great. And the tradition of making delicious food and overindulging is great. But at the same time, we have to remember that there are lots of people who can't
hungry.
Do that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're bringing these charitable food events, I guess, to Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, in the past few years, we have seen cook-offs in New York City go berserk, just in terms of numbers. Last night was Enid's, I don't know,
eighth annual
apple pie cook-off.
I judged that a few years ago, and I don't think I've had a piece of apple pie since.
Yeah, sorry. I made the third place okay, that was fun. And, you know, there's another cook-off around every corner. There's a bacon one by Matt Timms. He's a host here last week.
The winner of the bacon.
There's a chowder cook-off at Jimmy's this weekend. There is this, I mean, and you started this, like, kind of before this whole, you know,
craze
took place. Yeah. Do you see any other food cook-offs in Kansas City or anywhere else, really?
I would hope that there would be more food cook-offs in Kansas City. If there are, I don't really know about them. That's part of the problem in Kansas City, I think, is that people don't connect the same way they do in Brooklyn. And that's a big difference.
Maybe you have to drive everywhere.
I know. You don't just see somebody carrying a vintage Pyrex on the L train.
In a Whole Foods bag.
Right, exactly. So it's a little bit different. I hope that there will be more in Kansas City. I really do. But, you know, Kansas City has really embraced this. And I hope that maybe this will be an inspiration to other people. And, you know, I'm going to eat my words right now, because Kansas City does have the biggest barbecue competition in the world every October, the American Royal Barbecue Competition.
That's a national thing, right?
Yeah, people come from everywhere to compete in that. And about a month ago, my boyfriend competed in another smaller scale barbecue competition, and we camped out overnight, and they got up at 5 a.m. to start smoking ribs. So there are a lot of barbecue competitions.
All right.
But aside from that, not many that I know of, but I hope this will inspire other people to hold their own competitions. Yeah.
And I have to hand it to you. I don't think that, you know, with all the different soups, whatever, there was like cassoulet competition. You really hung your hat on the casserole cook-off. I don't know of any others. And, you kind of made that your
it's mine
calling card. It's yours. Nobody better.
Yeah. But I do get emails from people in other cities saying, oh, I threw my own casserole party inspired by yours. So that's great. And I hope that people will continue to do that in other cities. And I am hoping to expand next year to Atlanta and Austin and sort of take the casserole party on the road.
I think it's a good vehicle for yeah. just for a cook-off because you can put anything in it. And as you demonstrate in your book of, like, I don't know, 50 or so recipes? 50?
125. Oh.
There can be a lot of casseroles you can make. Yeah. It's really just a
And that's just the tip of the iceberg in my book, you know? It's a casserole is anything you make of it. And I say for the party, it's two or more solid ingredients, like a pasta or a meat or vegetable, whatever, and a binding agent. And then it has to be baked. So within those parameters, you have so much room.
You can't steam it.
And that would be kind of gross and soggy. And you can't, it won't get crusty around the edges if you steam it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I think of enchiladas and lasagna and all of those dishes as casseroles.
You have to have a binding agent. That's the part that gets me. I'm like,
You've done it before, though. You can do it again.
Well, I know. I just want to kind of stretch the parameters here a little.
Yeah.
A casserole must. Who invented the casserole? Like, what defined it?
There is a long and storied history in the introduction to my book, but it's been around forever. You know, people were making these mixed dishes in earthenware pots in the ground over fire, and it just kind of evolved. And you know, there's the cassoulet, the fancy cousin of the casserole. But I don't make cassoulets because I don't soak my own beans, which I also talk about in the book. And you wouldn't dare make a cassoulet with canned beans. And I think
can beans be a binding agent?
Maybe if you pureed them.
Oh.
Yeah, they're solid, you know.
Yeah.
They're solid. You can make a bean paste, though, like a red bean paste.
Okay.
That could be tasty. Little Asian flair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet red beans.
Yeah.
I'm not from the Midwest, so I've never had casseroles growing up.
Yes, you have. You've had lasagna, and you've had enchiladas.
I didn't like it, though. I never ate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you like pasta?
Yes, but not. I was like weird. I didn't like cheese when I was little.
Really?
Yeah.
You are weird.
To eat like cheese.
Wow.
I'm totally not Midwest.
Well, you could be inspired by Lactard Surprise in my book.
Okay.
the binding agent is a red sauce.
Oh, okay. So, that can be a bind. Okay. Yeah. All right.
It doesn't bind as much. You know, if it were me, I would just add some cheese to it.
So basically, the baking process creates a bind for any kind of liquidy.
Yeah, and you know, things will fall apart, and that's okay.
Yeah,
but you don't want noodles swimming in soup. Mm-hmm. That's soup. That's alphabet soup.
Okay. So what's a casserole that you wish could have made it into your book that didn't? And, you know, it's your dream come true casserole now.
You know, my relationship with my boyfriend sort of started around a discussion about a casserole that he was making.
Oh,
and he wanted to make one that was sort of, that had a lot of meaty flavor in it. But like many men I know, he was going way overboard. Sausage and pancetta. And,
oh, dear.
And tomatoes. And it was too much. And I gave him the idea. Our first phone conversation was about an hour and a half long, and it was about this casserole. And I said, you know, you should make a roux with pancetta fat, and then use that as the base for a bechamel, and then kind of infuse the pancetta flavor throughout the casserole, and then put little bits of pancetta in it.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that, if anyone's listening and competing tonight, and you haven't decided on your casserole. Something similar to that, I think, would have a very good chance of placing in the casserole party tonight. I'm adding another category tonight, too.
Okay.
Which is best team name.
All right.
Yeah. I have in the running, we have Chuck Basserole. And unfortunately, one of the cancellations this morning was someone who got sick. Her team name was Gooey Deschanel. So people are getting very creative with their names and their casseroles.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is there a vegetarian category?
There are vegetarian casseroles, but there might be an unnamed,
they're against
an
everyone.
Unofficial. Yeah. Okay. So I ask people to tell me whether their casseroles are meaty or vegetarian so that I can indicate it for the people who are eating.
Uh-huh. But the judges are omnivores.
If you're going to make a meat-free casserole or a vegan casserole, it just has to be as good as one with cheese or meat.
Hey, what is that supposed to mean? Like they're inherently inferior?
No, but okay. I've talked about my love of cheese. I'm just saying that it you know, if you're choosing to make something without meat, it's going to have to stand on its own two vegetable feet. And I did not mean to make that cheesy rhyme.
No. I'm thinking in my head, what is the hardest way possible to make a good casserole? So I don't know why I approach every cook-off like that.
But you do well. I mean, you've won some cook-offs, right?
I have. Yeah.
So
I can't
make
keep
it work
up with them all, though.
There are so many. You know, I have never been to a takedown. I've never even met Matt Timms, which is crazy because we've both been hosting cook-offs in Brooklyn for years.
Well, I'll have to see if he's around tonight.
Yeah, I
can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens, and I'll have to write about it here on this on my blog too.
That would be great.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming to share your awesome thoughts about this whole tradition, and for bringing it to other places in the world, and just being the awesome Emily Ferris that you are.
Thank you so much, Kathy, and thank you for having me on. This was so fun.
All right, let's eat pizza now.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
See you later.
Love on you.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.